Public Service Commission denies the proposal by Exelon for a $6.4 billion takeover of Pepco. And two movies about social justice are coming to the DMV, The Black Panthers, Vanguard of the Revolution, and Rosenwald. All that and more coming up next. And welcome to Thursday's Community Watch and Comment, the on-the-ground edition for August 27th, 2015 on 89.3 WPFW, your Pacifica listener-powered station for jazz and justice in the nation's capital. On the ground and onthegroundshow.org are devoted to coverage of social justice activists and activism here in the DMV, the nation, and around the planet. I'm Esther Ivarum, and I want to first congratulate Dave and Tom for their fundraising efforts and urge you to keep raising funds for Jazz and Justice during On the Ground by calling 202-588-9739. We're here to make our show's contribution to the summer mini drive and at the same time to keep the people's voice in the ears of Congress, in the ears of the White House, in the ears of the Supreme Court. From the Black Lives Matter movement to Code Pink rallying to prevent another invasion of another Middle East country to today on this fourth Sunday dedicated to arts and activism. Today we'll feature filmmaker Stanley Nelson, director of the new documentary, The Black Panthers, Vanguard of the Revolution, opening in D.C. and Baltimore next month, and Aviva Kemper, director of Rosenwald, opening tomorrow at the Avalon Theater here in D.C. For these and other points of light, On the Ground is here every week to speak truth to power. As our special thank you gift for our week when we do want to focus on arts and activism, we have tickets to both movies as a thank you gift for today. As always, we have a lot for you in this less than an hour, starting with our headlines. Well, the biggest news among activists here in the DMV is the fact that the D.C. Public Service Commission just denied that proposal by Exelon for a $6.4 billion takeover of Pepco. The commission unanimously rejected Exelon's proposal on Tuesday, saying that it was not in the best interest of the ratepayers. This rejection is a huge win for a broad coalition of activists who have demonstrated that if this merger does go through, D.C.'s electric bills will be higher and service will be even less reliable than under Pepco. And they have argued that partnering with a nuclear giant runs against the grain of the district's green energy emphasis and will put control of the city's energy in a company that's not even based here. Thousands of those customers, dozens of advisory neighborhood commissions, and at least six D.C. council members strongly oppose Exelon's acquisition of Pepco because it is not in the public interest of the district, said the Coalition Power D.C. in a statement following the decision. The commission said it found no evidence the combination would improve reliability of service. Pepco and Exelon have 30 days to ask the commission to reconsider. According to the Interpress Service, the United Nations continues to come under heavy fire for singling out mostly non-Western states for human rights violations while ignoring the misdeeds of Western nations or big powers. As part of its annual ritual, the UN Third Committee, which deals with human rights issues, has religiously adopted country-specific resolutions every year, mostly critical of nations like Iran, Syria, Cuba, and North Korea for their infractions. But according to Interpress, none of these resolutions have been adopted unanimously. Last November, for example, the resolution criticizing Syria for human rights violations was adopted by a vote of 125 in favor, with 13 against and 47 abstentions. The vote on North Korea was 111 in favor, with 19 against and 55 abstentions. And the vote on Iran was 78-35 with 69 abstentions. Still, both the United Nations and its Human Rights Council have rarely, if ever, launched an investigation into civilian killings, including women and children in Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, and Yemen, by drone attacks or aerial bombings by the United States and its Western allies. Despite ratifying the UN Charter reaffirming their faith in fundamental human rights, there are some member states who, with alarming regularity, are disregarding and violating human rights, sometimes to a shocking degree, officials said in the Interpress report. In human rights news in this country, a judge in Ferguson, Missouri, has withdrawn as many as 10,000 arrest warrants as part of a series of changes to the court system announced Monday. The order withdraws all municipal warrants issued before 2015. It also changes the conditions for pretrial release and creates a pathway for people to have driver's licenses reinstated if the suspension was due to failure to pay fines or show up in court. A Justice Department probe found the city has been targeting African Americans for arrest and then profiting off of their fines. The changes come after a year of widespread protests over the police killing of Michael Brown. Here in the DMV, home care workers joined with the National Employment Law Project on Friday in applauding an historic decision by the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals to uphold Labor Department rules granting federal minimum wage and overtime protections to our nation's 2 million home care workers. The court ruled that the lower court had erred in finding that the Labor Department had acted outside of its authority in issuing the home care rule. The court affirmed the Labor Department's rule and ordered the district court to issue summary judgment in favor of the Labor Department case. The case, Home Care Association of America versus Wheel, was brought by the home care industry in an attempt to invalidate the Labor Department's rules made final last December after a years-long process. These labor rules were put into place by Southern legislators during the 1930s because most African Americans worked in so-called domestic service and in agricultural jobs. This Sunday, Code Pink is sponsoring a picnic with peace. A picnic for peace with Iran from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. in front of the White House in Lafayette Park, 16th Street and Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest. The picnic for peace will bring together D.C. folks who care about peace and support the Iran nuclear deal. Code Pink is teaming up with the National American Iranian Council, Busboys and Poets, and Jewish Voice for Peace, D.C. Metro Chapter, to host a dinner in traditional Iranian style, sitting on cushions on the ground and eating around a tablecloth. Recently, Code Pink co-founder Medea Benjamin confronted presidential candidate Ted Cruz about his opposition to the Iran deal.
Now let me say, this deal goes through, three things will happen. Number one, over $100 billion will flow to Iran that they will use to fund Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, and radical Islamic terrorists. Those billions of dollars will be used to fund jihadists that will murder Americans, that will murder Israelis, that will murder Europeans. Does that make any sense?
No, it doesn't make any sense, because the only way that we're going to stop Iran from getting a nuclear weapon, if indeed they're trying to get one, is to have this deal. That's not just what President Obama and John Kerry are saying. That's what the British are saying, the French are saying, the Chinese are saying, the Russians are saying, the Australians are saying, New Zealand is saying, Jordan is saying. In fact, it passed unanimously through the Security Council. So the entire world is saying this is the best deal that we're going to get to stop Iran from getting a nuclear weapon, to bring about a peaceful settlement of this problem. And what makes you think, as Ted Cruz, you know better than all of these countries together? You don't. What you have been pushing for is going to lead us to war. The American people, and I would think even these concerned women, don't want another war in the Middle East. What we want is peace in the Middle East. Diplomacy.
Please email mike@codepink.org to RSVP for this Sunday's Picnic for Peace with Iran. That's going to be at 4 to 6 p.m. in front of the White House. And if you want to bring 10 friends, you can sign up to host your own table. Or if you're coming alone or with a few friends, RSVP to join the Code Pink table. And they want everyone to wear all white and bring your own cushion to sit on. And each table will coordinate its own food. So that's mike@codepink.org. Actually, Code Pink is also organizing a Peace with Iran vigil September 8th through the 17th outside Congress. The Iran nuclear deal will be top on the agenda when Congress returns from August recess on September 8th. And finally, dozens recently gathered to celebrate the birthday of activist Sylvia Robinson, who is founder of the Emergence Community Arts Collective, a multi-use community space on Euclid Street in Northwest D.C. Through her organization, which many have nicknamed ECAC, Robinson also sponsors the annual In Her Honor series of awards programs honoring women, and she is a founder of the Georgia Avenue Community Development Task Force.
Happy Joe Strouder from Pleasant Plains, Washington, D.C. I'm here to help celebrate Sylvia Robinson's birthday because there is not a more positive element in this community or the city other than Sylvia Robinson. Number one, straight off the bat, is helping to found the Georgia Avenue Community Development Task Force, which gave the members, the residents of this community, both Parkview, all up lower Georgia Avenue, a voice in how this community is developed instead of just having the developers have free reign in our neighborhood, you know. So that's number one right off the bat. And then ECAC. ECAC is like my Zen. It's like my Zen idyllic location, all right, where I can come and learn all kind of new things and express myself, work with children. It's just fabulous, and it's all because of Sylvia Robinson.
Hi, my name is Pierre Aiden, and I'm a Buddhist practicing in Washington, D.C. to celebrate Sylvia's birthday. She allows us to use her home for Buddhist practice, which is very important because that's togetherness, and also, you know, she's extending herself out to the group.
Hey, I'm Brigitte Roussan, and I'm part of the Diverse City Fund and also a group, a women's group called the Free Radicals, and that's how I've especially gotten to know Sylvia. She is just a wonderful activist and just a great friend, and she's just good people.
Doreen Thompson. I'm from 16th Street Heights, but I'm involved with the Georgia Avenue Business Alliance. What a fabulous person Sylvia is. I mean, to take on this kind of project, ECAP, and at the same time be so committed to the community in Georgia Avenue, a very special person. I'm proud to be here.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Sylvia. Have a good one. Many more.
Sylvia Robinson's friends also described the August 15th party as a celebration of Robinson's fight against cancer and the success she has had with alternative treatments. If you would like to assist Sylvia Robinson with her health bills, you can search for her name at GoFundMe.org or CaringBridge.org. And those are our headlines and happenings. When we come back, all power to the people. Black Panthers, vanguard of the revolution.
Does it gotta come down to this? In order to see things for what they are, for what it is. We still might not be free up in this piece or treated very equally as far as I can see. Hell no, we ain't all right.
Now all these press conferences, breaking news alert, this just in. While your government looks for a war to win. Flames for the blame game, names where I begin. Walls closing and get some help to my kin. Who cares? By the rest of the Bush nation stares as the drama unfolds as we the people under the stairs. 50% of this son of a Bush nation is like hating on Haiti and setting up assassinations. Ask Pat Robinson, quiz him.
Smells like terrorism.
Racism in the news, still one-sided views. Saying whites find food. Pray for the National Guard who be ready to shoot. Because they be saying us blacks loot.
What is your boy son of a Bush doing? Nerd.
New Orleans in the morning, afternoon, and night.
Hell no.
We ain't alright. New Orleans in the morning, afternoon, and night.
Hell no.
We ain't alright. New Orleans in the morning, afternoon, and night.
Hell no.
We ain't alright. In the morning, afternoon, and night.
Hell no!
Bam!
Now them fires, earthquakes, tsunamis, I don't mean to scare. Wasn't this written somewhere? Disgraces, all I be seeing is hurting black faces. Moved out to all them faraway places. Emergency state corpses, alligators, and snakes. Big difference between this haze and the diamonds of the BMAs. You better look what's really important, y'all, under the sun. Especially if you over 21. This ain't no TV show, ain't no video. This is really real. Beyond them same old, keep it real. Quotes from them TV stars driving big rim cars. Streets be front beat, no matter where you at, no gas. Driving is a luxury, urgency. Don't y'all know, they said it's a state of emergency. Show somebody's government is far from reality.
Hey, yo, check 1, 2.
New Orleans in the morning, afternoon, and night.
Hell no,
we ain't alright. New Orleans in the morning, afternoon, and night.
Hell no.
doing everything in their power to save people. They are going to pay the price.
Now I see we be the new faces of refuge.
The Black Panthers.
Black Panther.
Black Panther Party.
Black Panther Movement.
The Black Panthers were absolutely unique.
Being black in America meant that you didn't walk down the street with the same sense of safety and the sense of privilege as a white person. Attack dogs, fire hoses.
Police jump on you, beat you up, put the gun at your head. This is what we were going through on a daily basis.
We stand on the eve of a black revolution, brothers.
Now we have voices within the community that we're not going to continue to turn the other cheek.
The Second Amendment guarantees the citizen a right to bear arms on public property.
We're going
to
carry our guns and we're going to follow the police. We're going to maintain a legal distance, ready to throw down if necessary.
Anyone who would approve of this kind of demonstration must be out of their mind.
Stop yourself! That's what I need!
These racist Gestapo pigs have to stop brutalizing our community or we're going to drive them out.
The majority of the rank and file are women.
We tried to change some of the clear gender roles. Women had guns and men cooked breakfast for children.
The way we walked and talked and dressed, we were a phenomenon.
Spread the legs!
The Black Panthers really understood the media. They used us to their advantage.
Chairman of the Black Panther Party, and here he is.
They tapped the phone. The phone is probably hooked up to the White House.
You read the Black Panther Party newspaper?
Yes, I do.
Why?
Because I'm black and I'm proud.
The FBI wanted to destroy the Panthers.
How about justice? Justice is incidental to law and order.
This was all-out attack on the Black Panther Party. Every significant office is going to be raided, bombed, shot, mass arrests.
They were coming to kill us.
When the 15-minute gun battle was over, two Black Panthers were dead.
This was obviously a political assassination.
It was like a slaughterhouse.
We're doing fundraisers at places like Jane Fonda's townhouse so that we could raise money for the Legal Defense Fund.
There were 156 not guilty verdicts. It's astonishing.
We don't hate nobody because of their color. We hate oppression.
We refer to ourselves as the vanguard. We wanted the entire community to follow.
I feel free. I feel absolutely free. You understand? That's what I feel.
That was Public Enemy First with Hell No, We Ain't All Right, created in response to the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, which occurred 10 years ago. And then after that was the trailer for Black Panther's Vanguard of the Revolution, which will be coming to D.C. next month, opening at the East Street Cinema. And as one of two special film thank you gifts today, for only a tax-deductible donation of $50, I'm offering a pair of tickets to the D.C. run of Black Panther's Vanguard of the Revolution, which will open actually September 18th at the East Street Cinema. And the opening weekend will include a talk with the filmmaker Stanley Nelson on September 19th. So we might all know that the issue of defending the black community against police brutality was central to the founding of the Black Panthers, which was actually the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. And for a $100 donation or just a $10 a month sustainer membership, you can get two movies, right? The Black Panthers opening September 18th, two tickets to that, and also two tickets to Rosenwald opening tomorrow at the Avalon Theater on Connecticut Avenue. Rosenwald tells the story of Julius Rosenwald, who over the course of his lifetime donated more than $62 million, and a large portion of that went to build schools for African Americans and to fund other initiatives to fight racism and oppression of black people. More on that film in the second half of the show, including an interview with the filmmaker Aviva Kempner. But when you call now, know that you can get tickets to both Black Panther's Vanguard of the Revolution opening September 18th at the East Street Cinema and Rosenwald for the opening tomorrow, which is opening tomorrow at the Avalon. And that's on Connecticut Avenue in Northwest D.C. So in this next clip, and this is taken from an interview earlier this year with Democracy Now!, Stanley Nelson talks about the Black Panthers, and he relates how the Black Panthers relate to his earlier films about 1960s movements, other 1960s movements, including the Civil Rights Movement.
So Freedom Riders leads into Freedom Summer. You know, what happens at the end of Freedom Summer is at the Democratic National Convention, the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party is defeated, you know, in kind of an underhanded way by Lyndon Johnson and his forces. And so many of the people in SNCC at that time felt betrayed. They felt, we've done everything we can do. We've done it the right way. We've done everything. You've said you're on our side. And then when we get to the moment when we have to share power, you back out. So Lyndon Johnson engineers kind of underhanded way to defeat them. And at that point, a lot of people left SNCC. And some left the movement altogether. But one of the things that happens at the end of Freedom Summer is there's a shot of Stokely Carmichael goes down to Alabama and gets on top of that truck or bus or whatever it is and starts yelling, Black Power, Black Power, Black Power. And that's one of the first scenes in the Black Panthers' Vanguard of the Revolution is Stokely Carmichael up on that vehicle yelling, Black Power, Black Power, Black Power. So the things, one thing really led to the other. That I was a 15-year-old kid in New York City when the Panthers came into being in 1966. And so I was enamored of the Panthers, you know. I'm 16 in New York. All of a sudden here are these people with leather jackets and berets and sunglasses and looking so cool and talking about revolution. I'm like, yeah, that sounds good to me. So I've always been fascinated by the Panthers. And then, you know, as a filmmaker, there's always more than one reason why you want to make a film. And as a filmmaker, you know, it's just such a wonderful story. And the people who were part of the story, the majority of them are still alive. They're only 20 years old or so at the time. And the Panthers were this media sensation. So there's an incredible amount of footage and still pictures, you know, to help construct this film. So all of those things came together, and I became interested in the Panther story. But I think also I've realized, you know, how the whole story reverberates with what's going on in the country today. Yeah, the Black Panthers were started in Oakland, California, and it was five guys who started and said, you know, we have to do something about police brutality, which was heightened in Oakland. The Oakland Police Department was notorious. And so what they did, because there was a law in California that said you could carry a weapon, a loaded weapon, as long as it wasn't concealed. So they would drive around and follow the police. And when the police jumped out to make a stop, they would jump out behind the police and with their guns drawn and stand a little ways back and with their guns drawn and make sure that no brutality or violence occurred on the part of the police. And that's how the Panthers started. And from there, from these five or six guys, the movement just took off. They were college students. This was Huey Newton, Bobby Seale, a couple of others. And they were college students, by and large, who just wanted to end the brutality that was in their lives with the police.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Thursday's Community Watch and Comment, the On the Ground edition. I'm Esther Averam, and we just heard the voice of Stanley Nelson, director of the Black Panthers, Vanguard of the Revolution, opening September 18th at the E Street Cinema. And there's some interesting, I saw the documentary, pre-screened it, and it's really incredible. I was riveted to the screen, and I think that you'll be also. These are some notes about the film. Change was coming to America, and the fault lines could no longer be ignored. Cities were burning, Vietnam was exploding, and disputes raged over equality and civil rights. A new revolutionary culture was emerging, and it sought to drastically transform the system. The Black Panther Party for Self-Defense would, for a short time, put itself at the vanguard of that change. The Black Panthers' Vanguard of the Revolution is the first feature-length documentary to explore the Black Panther Party, its significance to the broader American culture, its cultural and political awakening for black people, and the painful lessons wrought when a movement derails. Master documentarian Stanley Nelson, who also did Freedom Riders and other documentaries that we featured, goes straight to the source, weaving a treasure trove of rare archival footage with the voices of the people who were there, police, FBI informants, journalists, white supporters and detractors, and Black Panthers who remained loyal to the party and those who left it. It features Kathleen Cleaver, Elaine Brown, Emory Douglas, Jamal Joseph, and many others. It is an essential history and a vibrant chronicle of this pivotal movement that birthed a new revolutionary culture in America. And you can go and see this movie when it shows here next month here in D.C. It'll be at the East Street Cinema. And because I know you appreciate this kind of community coverage that you're not getting anyplace else, even hearing the voices at Sylvia Robinson's party to pay tribute and celebrate this tremendous community activist, I know you'll call 202-588-9739 to help keep WPFW on the air, keep the people's voice on the air. 202-588-9739. Again, you can get two tickets to go see the Black Panthers, Vanguard of the Revolution, for only a $50 tax-deductible donation. If you want to pair that with a second two tickets for Rosenwald, you can get that both, all four tickets, for $100, or you can get them by signing up to be a sustainer for at least $10 a month. And you can do that by calling 202-588-9739, or you can go online to wpfwfm.org. Okay, so when we come back, another film we're offering on our fourth Thursday, Arts and Activism Week, we'll switch to Rosenwald, the millionaire who used his money to fight injustice and racism during Jim Crow America. All right, so stay with us. Also dial again 202-588-9739 to get tickets for both movies, and we will be right back. "Hell Y'all Talk About" by Janelle Monae, and that's translated as, "What the hell are you all talking about?" And actually, in this second half of the show, we'll be talking about another film opening tomorrow, Rosenwald. And it's all about Julius Rosenwald, the son of an immigrant peddler who never finished high school but rose to become the president of Sears. He was influenced by the writings of educator Booker T. Washington. And this was a Jewish philanthropist who joined forces with African-American communities during the Jim Crow South to build more than 5,300 schools during the early part of the 20th century. Rosenwald sheds light on the silent partner of the pre-civil rights movement. He awarded fellowship grants to a who's who of African-American intellectuals and artists of his day so that they could pursue their scholarship in art. Those folks included Marian Anderson, James Baldwin, the father and uncle of the civil rights leader Julian Bond, Ralph Bunche, W.E.B. Du Bois, Catherine Dunham, Ralph Ellison, John Hope Franklin, Langston Hughes, Zorro Neale Hurston, Gordon Parks, the list goes on, like Jacob Lawrence, Augusta Savage, along with Woody Guthrie. So the list of prominent alumni and educators who attended his schools, you know, is also a very long list, and maybe we can get to some of those later. But right now, I'm joined via Skype by the director of Rosenwald, Aviva Kempner, who has tackled through her films non-stereotypical images of Jews. Before Rosenwald, she conceived of and produced Partisans of Vilna, a documentary on Jewish resistance against Nazis, produced and directed Peabody-winning and Emmy-nominated The Life and Times of Hank Greenberg about the Jewish slugger who fought anti-Semitism in the 1930s and 1940s, and produced and directed Yoo-Hoo, Mrs. Goldberg about television pioneer Gertrude Berg. Welcome to On the Ground, Aviva.
Welcome from Martha's Vineyard. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. I love Skype.
This new digital world is a little beyond my age group, but I'm doing it.
Now, am I pronouncing your name right, Aviva?
Yes, it's Aviva Kempner. It means spring, born in the winter, but it was springtime to my parents.
Yay, I'm saying it right. So, in reading about Mr. Rosenwald, and it's a tremendous documentary, you know, It's really clear that he didn't make a big deal over what he was doing. No one really knew the extent to which he was donating money to not only help African Americans, but to really move along the issue of social justice. So, tell me about that kind of unassuming nature of his philanthropy and how you found out about it.
Well, I'm sitting right here on the vineyard. We had a sold out showing last night, and we're going to hopefully have another one tonight. And 12 years ago, I was on the vineyard and had gone to the Hebrew Center because Julian Bond, my hero in the civil rights movement, was talking about blacks and Jews. And I thought he was going to talk about the civil rights movement. But lo and behold, he started talking about Julius Rosenwald's giving, both in working with Booker T. Washington to build over these 5,300 schools. Yes, you're hearing the number right. And also giving Rosenwald Fund grants, including to Julian Bond's father and uncle and Marian Anderson and Jacob Lawrence when he did the Great Migration series, Langston Hughes. It's sort of, as Rita Dove says in the film, the who's who in African-American arts and letters in the 20th century. Well, I couldn't wait for the talk to be over, and I ran up to Mr. Bond, and I said, I want that to be my next film, because the premise of all my movies is unknown Jewish heroes fighting isms. With the first film, it was Jews fighting Nazis and Partisans of Vilna. And Hank Greenberg, it was the Jewish baseball player who had to fight anti-Semitism, and was the player that most welcomed Jackie Robinson. With Gertrude Berg, who developed the first domestic sitcom, she had to face sexism and McCarthyism. And obviously, with Julius Rosenwald, it was facing racism. And, you know, you asked the question about his modesty and his inspiration. It was a combination of, there's a principle in Judaism, tikkun olam, repairing the world, and that's something his rabbi really talked about a lot, and he took to heart. He always thought that whatever money he made, a third he should give away, a third live on, and a third save. And he came and bought into Sears Roebuck and really made it much more efficient, made millions, and decided, you know, I really have to do something. He did some things in his own community in Chicago, but then he read up from slavery. And when he realized that what was happening in the Jim Crow South, and that unless African Americans had some kind of alternative to working on the fields, and really education was the route for that, things were going to never change. And of course he had Booker T. Washington reading in his ear, and also Du Bois. He actually, I think, followed both the Booker T. Washington philosophy of education, even though a lot of it was trade education, and Du Bois, the talented 10th, in terms of who he gave grants to. But he didn't like his names to be on things. His foundation stepped down after 25 years. And there's a wonderful scene in the movie when he says, you know, people think because you're really wealthy, you're smart. He says, quite the contrary.
I want to play that.
Sorry. Because you know who it contradicts, who's running for office today.
Exactly. So let's go to the actual voice of Julius Rosenwald that's in the film.
Most people are of the opinion that because a man has made a fortune, that his opinions on any subject are valuable. Don't be fooled by believing, because a man is rich, that he is necessarily smart. There is ample proof to the contrary.
So that was the voice of Julius Rosenwald, included in the film Rosenwald, opening tomorrow at the Avalon, and we actually have tickets as part of our fundraiser today, so call 202-588-9739, and would be a call for us, right? But 202-588-9739, and I'm talking to the filmmaker of Viva Kempner about the film. So how did you dig out that kind of archival audio?
Tomorrow, but I don't come until Saturday. So the two shows Saturday night and almost all the shows on Sunday, I'll be at the Avalon Theater. That's a community theater that I helped save. And on Saturday night, Marvin Jones is joining me, who's restoring his Rosenwald school that he grew up with. Mm-hmm. And on Sunday, I hope that Eugene Robinson will be joining me at 5:15, because that was the time on Sunday that Julian Bond was to join me. And, you know, we're just so sad and actually shocked that he passed away. But it's his inspiration that made the film, and he's just wonderful in it. And it's opening all around the country in different places, so people could go to rosenwaldfilm.org. Sorry, I'm saying this so I don't forget to say it at the end.
Oh, yeah, I was asking about how you found that archival audio that we played.
In the National Archives.
Okay.
He had been, you know, back then, newsreels, he had...
Hello? I think we may have lost her. She may... Well, but we'll get her back. But in the meantime, I want to encourage everyone to support WPFW, your station for jazz and justice, during our summer mini drive. I know everybody's kind of worn out with fundraising, but we have to come to our listeners. We're totally listener supported. We have these drives, and we have to make up a shortage in our spring drive. And I think this is my final week to contribute to the summer mini drive. So I want to encourage everyone to go to 202-588-9739 to make a pledge, or pledge right online at WPFWFM.org. My special thank you gifts are two tickets to the Black Panthers Vanguard of the Revolution, opening September 18th at the East Street Cinema, for only $50, tax deductible donation. And also, I have two tickets for Rosenwald, opening tomorrow at the Avalon Theater, also in Northwest DC, up on Connecticut Avenue. And you can get both for $100. That's all four tickets, you know, for you and a date. And also, if you want to join as a sustainer for at least $10 a month, I can get you also all four tickets. So those are my special thank you gifts that I've wrangled for the fundraiser. But those answering the phone or online, you can see all the thank you gifts. We still have the gifts we offered last week, that complete Justice Department report from Ferguson, and the complete selected writings of Mumia Abu-Jamal. And there's a host of gifts that are available for you to enjoy, thank you gifts to enjoy during the summer fun drive. So 202-588-9739 or WPFWFM.org. That's WPFWFM.org. And we are going to still work on getting Aviva Kempner back. But in the meantime, we do have another clip from the movie, and this includes Julian Bond and also the historian David Levering Lewis making a comment about the work of Julius Rosenwald.
Julius Rosenwald's philanthropy created black schools throughout the South. Without that initiative, he was, and it was, the virtual Department of Education of the United States. We would have had a different America.
You can look at the people who got grants from Julius Rosenwald and say, these are the predecessor generation to the civil rights generation that I'm a part of. And I'm a predecessor generation to the Obama generation that resulted in the election of the first black president of the United States.
That was the voice of the late Julian Bond talking about the work of Julius Rosenwald, and before that, the historian David Levering Lewis. I think we have Aviva Kempner back. Good morning.
But I'm back.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. You know, sometimes the challenge when you're like on, like to stay away from the keys, you know, because, you know, you hit something and then, you know, everything disappears. But, so you were talking about his inspiration from Booker T. Washington. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Right. He had read Up from Slavery, and it totally, you know, it was not any kind of a life he had had growing up in Springfield and being in Chicago. And it's interesting because at 16 he left. He never finished high school. So here's a man who was the great supporter of education. And anyhow, he was so impressed with Booker T. He also invited him up to Chicago for a dinner at the Blackstone Hotel where and Booker T was the honoree. No African American had ever even gone into the hotel, you know, as a guest, and they had a group of businessmen. And Booker T. Washington said, will you be on the board of Tuskegee? He went down and visited with his rabbi, who, by the way, was one of the original signers of the call for action for the NAACP. So they go down to Tuskegee. He's just blown away. There's wonderful footage of Tuskegee and what visitors saw when they came there. And he decided to be on the board. And on his 50th birthday, he decided to give a lot of money away. His philosophy was give while you live. And in doing so, Booker T. said to him, will you build 5 schools in Alabama? You know, we've got the university covered, but what happens with these young kids? So they built 5, and they loved it so much. And by the way, Valerie Jarrett's great-grandfather, Robert Taylor, designed the original schools, mm-hmm. and now there's a stamp in his honor. And they loved the school so much, they said, oh, let's build more. And before, it just mushroomed and mushroomed and mushroomed because the need was so great. It went all over the South, and including Maryland, which I naively didn't even realize was the South, as well as Oklahoma and Texas. And what the great thing is, these schools, you know, after desegregation were sort of obsolete, but now there's a whole movement to restore the buildings as community centers and as museums, and that's really great.
So tell me about one of these restoration efforts. For example, is there an effort here in Maryland, somewhere nearby?
Yeah, to Wrigley in Prince George's County. There's a couple of them on the Eastern Shore. You can go out to Virginia. A lot of times it's the alumni themselves that are retiring or going back south or just have, you know, some time on their hands and remembering how wonderful the schools were. As a matter of fact, you know, our Pulitzer Prize-winning Washington Post journalist, columnist, Eugene Robinson, went to a Rosenwald school, and he talks beautifully about it in the film. And I think I just arranged that he'll be speaking after the 5:15 showing at Sunday at the Avalon. You know, when I showed it at the NAACP convention, that was one of our first open showings, actually the same day that the president spoke in Philly, people just stood up and testified and saying, you don't know how important the school was to us as a reprieve on what was happening in Jim Crow South. I did not film Maya Angelou, but we got a copy of a of an interview she did, and she talked about how proud she was about the school. The Broadway director, George Wolfe, talks about it. And I think if you look, since one out of three African Americans in the South went to a Rosamond school, I think if a lot of people do their history, they'll know that there's some family members that went to a Rosamond school.
So were these schools considered private schools, or were they part integrated into the public school system?
Yeah, you know, what's interesting, it was all about matching, because Rosamond only gave a third, and luckily Booker T said to him, I don't want to use the kid houses that Sears make. I want the community to build their homes, because that's how it happened down at Tuskegee. So the African-American communities did, a lot of them contributed land. They took a lot of pride in building the schools. They literally did, and they kept them up. And the state also contributed a third. Now, there's also some stories of schools being burned. And we have one man, Mr. Buckner, who was in Chicago now, but in growing up in Mississippi, he had said that they burned the school and then they rebuilt it. And also on the walls of the schools were pictures of Booker T. Washington, President Lincoln, who obviously was a big hero for ending slavery, and a picture of Julius Rosenwald. And Mr. Buckner says in the interview, you know, growing up, I kept on thinking, who's that white man on the wall? Actually, a friend of mine who runs the Jewish Film Festival here in Washington thought that's what I should call the film.
Who's that white man? Who's that white man on the wall? It kind of reminds me of Spike Lee, that the line in one of the Spike Lee films when he says, you know, we're the brothers on the wall. So where's the white man on the wall? So,
but you know, my big line is not all of us have the money that Julius Rosenwald did, but all of us has a Julius Rosenwald in us. And what I've been very impressed that I've had young African Americans and whites go to the movie, come out and says, that's the kind of thing I want to do. I'm inspired. I was just quoted in the LA Times with that. And, you know, traditionally with my films, older people come. And that's great because they know closer to the history. But I have to tell you how many people don't know it. But I really hope that one or two or three generations come, because there's great stories of the South, the great stories of how Jacob Lawrence came to paint, you know, the Great Migration, how Gordon Parks came here, and before he did that, you know, iconic photograph of the charwoman in front of the American flag, great stories of Marian Anderson. You know what's amazing to me? The story of American Marian Anderson, who got a Rosenwald grant, and that's how she learned German leader. Mm-hmm. Under a grant, but she comes back and is discovered by Saul York, and of course the awful story of the DAR not letting her sing, and then finally sings, in front of the Lincoln Memorial. I've had young African Americans and whites work for me, and none of them knew the story. Wow. And I'm thinking, this is like it's right up there with Jackie Robinson. It's the great American civil rights story. Yeah. So I'm really proud that I was able to tell that as a link to Rosenwald.
You know, you mentioned Eugene Robinson of the Washington Post, but some of the other prominent alumni and educators who attended the Rosenwald schools include George Wolfe. People know him as the playwright, Tony Award-winning playwright, poet Maya Angelou, U.S. Representative John Lewis, the ancestors of Loretta Lynch, our U.S. Attorney General, and law professor Anita Hill. And it says here that Skip Gates writes in Finding Oprah's Roots that Oprah's ancestor, Amanda Bullocks, became a trustee of the Buffalo Rosenwald School in Alachua County, Mississippi. So there are all kinds of links, and this tremendous film will be premiering in D.C. tomorrow we have tickets to the Avalon Theater where it'll be showing, and for only a $50 tax deductible, that word is killing me today, donation, you can get a pair of tickets to Rosenwald. And also, tell us again about the special programs that you'll have this weekend. You'll actually be there at the theater?
Yeah, I'm in the Vineyard still tonight, so if anyone has relatives, I'm at the Strand tonight, at Martha's Vineyard 7. I'm at Boston tomorrow night. But there's a 5:15 show Saturday. I'll be there for intro Q&A, and at 8 p.m. And there's a Washington resident who's from one of the Carolinas, Marvin Jones, who's helping to restore a school, mm-hmm. who will talk with me after. Then on Sunday at noon, I'll be at the Cinema Arts Theater which is the theater in, I guess, Arlington, Anaheim, Virginia. And then starting at, I believe, 2:15 or 2:30 or 2:45, I'll be there doing Q&A at the 5:15, which is the screening that sadly Julian Bond was going to join in with me. I'll be there, and Julius Rosenwald's great-grandson, David Stern, who himself runs Equal Justice Works, placing lawyers in pro bono positions to doing pro bono law around the country. And I believe I've just confirmed Eugene Robinson, who went to a school and, of course, is always on MSNBC and writes a wonderful column for the Post.
Well, you know, I think that
and
people
I'll be at the evening one, and then Monday night, this is interesting because we live in Washington. The Jewish Historical Society of D.C. is co-sponsoring Monday night with the Thurgood Marshall Center. Because what I forgot to mention is Julius Rosenwald gave $25,000 to 27 black wives all around America. And Norris Johnson, who's in our film, will be talking with me and the Historical Society, and I believe also the head of the NAACP, and including Dr. Drew played basketball there, but also Coach Thompson first played basketball there. I tried to interview him, but I couldn't. You know, there's always basketball games that he was broadcasting or whatever. It was hard.
Well,
to get
I am sure all those events are going to be wonderful, and I think that people can probably see them listed on the website for the Avalon Theater, and they have a tremendous website, and the film will be opening there tomorrow. I don't mean to cut it short, but I'm running out of time. And I do want to give one more pitch because I haven't received any pledges. I don't see anything on the screen. No one's come in with anything. But one more pitch for people to call 202-588-9739. That's 202-588-9739, or pledge right online at wpfw.org. You can get the tickets to this show, Rosenwald, this film, for only a $50 tax deductible donation. You can also get tickets to the Black Panthers Vanguard of the Revolution, and also for a $50 donation. And you can get all four tickets for to sign up as a sustaining member for only $10 a month. 202-588-9739. 202-588-9739. This is my final pitch, and you can also go online to wpfwfm.org. Now I've got to start to sign off. That will do it for us on Thursday's Community Watch and Comment, the On the Ground edition. I'm Esther Avarim. I want to thank again my guest Aviva Kempner, filmmaker, director of Rosenwald, and thanks to our engineer Michael Nasella, and thank you so much for listening and supporting. I know you're calling. I know you're walking to the phone right now. I know you're walking to your computer to make that pledge. Thank you for supporting your station for Jazz and Justice. You can reach the show at onthegroundshow.org, where you can now listen to all of our shows and past shows. Please like our Facebook and Twitter pages at On the Ground Show. You can keep calling in all donations until the top of the hour, and that will help us meet our goal for today, 202-588-9739. Now stay tuned for the news, followed by Krista Property on the Thursday edition of Don't Forget the Blues. Raise your voice. Peace.